Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, The Cook, The Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover, a 1989 film directed by Peter Greenaway, rated X. I don't think it warrants an X rating.
It's nudity.
I don't think that's like a...
There's a nude man being eaten at the end.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and you see his charred penis. You know what? That's what earned the X rating. Anyways, Michelle, this was your pick. Why...
I just wanted to watch this.
She really wanted to eat.
She really wanted to eat. You were in the mood for food.
We usually
in the mood for food is a good title, an alternative title for this movie. Let's talk about it. I guess the most obvious thing place to start is how the movie looks.
It looks like Batman and Robin.
Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
He looks like a... Yes. Yes. He looks like a Joel Schumacher movie.
In the best way.
In the best way. In the best... I was actually say yes. In the best way. It's very gaudy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's on purpose.
Yeah.
It's very deliberate.
Right? Yeah. Because the guy has no taste.
Yeah.
It looks like a stage play too. Like it's like a set.
Yes. Like, very wide, mm-hmm. big sets that they just kind of move
like
through.
Like Alfred Hitchcock's Rope.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a set.
But it leverages cinema because it gets to do pull magic tricks, like when characters move through rooms, their
mm-hmm.
costumes change to reflect the color of the room that they're in.
Like Martin Scorsese's Casino.
Does he do that in Casino?
They're always wearing like pink when pink places.
But this one
yes.
they do it in camera.
But you said it reminded you of In the Mood for
Love.
Love,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Tokyo Drifter.
And Tokyo Drifter, yes.
Yeah.
Particularly the ending of Tokyo Drifter, where they
mm-hmm.
do the exact same thing, where like characters moving from a room that's predominantly white into something that's completely different, red
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. I guess, yeah, it's they do it because the protagonist, you can call him that, is... a desperate wannabe intellectual, not even intellectual,
would you
just like
consider him the protagonist or her?
Yeah, I'd say she's the protagonist.
Yeah, she's the protagonist, even though he talks to
you. Because you focus on her even when
mm-hmm.
he's talking.
Because I was gonna say, oh, it's his wife in the title, but the first thing is the cook who is barely has anything to do with the.
But does play an important role at the end
yeah.
as he along with the wife participates in the ultimate vengeance,
like in The Menu.
Like in The Menu, terrible,
yes.
terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Just yeah. Oh, you watch this and you watch this like oh, so this is how you actually do like class criticism
yeah.
in a thoughtful way.
Do you think The Menu? Someone watched this and was like, "Let's write a movie."
That's like a worse version of
yeah.
that.
But they didn't know they were doing a worse version. They were like, "Let's make this more accessible." Do you think so?
I definitely think now I have seen this that it definitely probably took some inspirations from it. But I think that Menu is even more preoccupied with critiquing culture
mm-hmm.
than this one is. This one just uses it as like part of the storytelling, which is what I found so enjoyable. Michelle, what did you think? This is your pick.
It was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Why?
I don't know. It just.
Why not?
You didn't really know where it was gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of it was kind of dragged out a bit too much.
Yes, it's very circular.
Like the ending was a bit too long. We
mm-hmm.
could have cut that down to like 20 minutes.
Her entire monologue could be gone. We already kind of infer most of this stuff.
Yeah.
But what a brutal way to kill somebody. That was cool. Stuffing paper into pages of their favorite
Can
book.
Can you die from that?
Suffocation.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
But then
they still like cut his chest open.
Or something, yeah. And then there's the idea of like despite the fact that the thief, I guess we can just refer to him as the thief, Dumbledore's character, despite the fact that Dumbledore really wanted to be, he wanted to act like an intellectual, try to study French, he opens a
yeah.
French restaurant.
He was
dumb. Did he study French?
Well, he tries to learn.
No,
like
he keeps saying stuff.
He keeps stuff in French.
Right.
Like he
means
he.
How in
like
Django Unchained, like he's like
Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
Like, he doesn't speak French, but he prefers.
He's
yeah.
a Francophile, like Wes Anderson.
Like more elegant.
Yes.
And, yeah.
He kills an intellectual by stuffing books
yeah,
in. Like he rejects
whereas,
that. He
yeah,
hates it.
Because he was a dumb. Elder.
Exactly.
He was dumb as a dork.
Oh my god,
that's
so good. That's so good.
Oh,
we're keeping that in. We're keeping that in. I thought that was so nice. It's so interesting. That's where the menu sucks at, because it wants to
yeah.
be a thriller and then it also wants to do the class criticism thing, but it doesn't know how to like
mm-hmm.
make these two things gel. But this one does it very seamlessly. It's all motivated through character.
Yeah. This one made me, I mean, I don't know, it was gross, but at the same time I was like, wow, the food does look good.
Yeah, I want you have some of that. I'll like have the steaks.
That guy looked delicious.
That guy looked pretty crispy, like Peking duck. That's what I was thinking when you bring him up. Exactly. I was like, when he sliced it in, I was like, that's pretty good. But what an ending. It builds up to such an operatic. It reminded me a lot of Old Boy. I was thinking of Old Boy a lot towards like the finale. I was like, just how audacious the revenge like takes and like unfurls.
I guess she makes him eat it, so eat him, because then he's technically a cannibal. Then she kills him. Which I was curious, what do you guys think? Why was she making him a cannibal? Like, why was that so important to her?
I think the idea is that the cannibal is like the lowest form of humanity that you can sink to.
Okay, you have heard it here. Arvin Huang says pedophiles are cannibals.
Just a few rungs. I don't know. You know what? I don't draw the line.
That's what you're saying here.
She could exactly make him fuck a kid. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, fuck him.
Isn't it just like a power thing?
I guess, because he says something and then she's like, oh, you said it, so you should do it.
And now I will make you truly, like, live up to it.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting how they make him talk through the entire movie.
Yeah.
Every single scene he's in, he's...
Even if he's not in the scene, you
even if he's not seeing the scene, he's an overarching presence.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very funny, a very great performance from Michael Gambon. I loved it. It's so vile and so disgusting, and but at the same time, very funny.
You know who would have been cool also?
Yeah.
Mad Eye Moody.
Oh, he would have killed it.
Yeah.
He would have been Brandon.
He would have
been so
awesome.
Good. Oh, he would be so sick.
I don't know why I remembered him. I was like Harry Potter. And
well, there's a bit of two Harry Potter lump.
Mm-hmm.
Albus and what's his name?
Ministry of Magic.
No, it's his actual. I think it's
the Minister of Magic. I don't know if it was Cornelius Bodrum.
No, I know. I'm pretty sure that's his brother. Like you're right, the first time around. That's the guy who plays
Dumbledore's
brother in the second part of Deathly Hallows.
Okay.
And Tim Roth, who plays Ron Weasley.
Who, by the way, he has aged so beautifully.
Yeah, Tim Roth.
Insane. We watched him in Resurrection last year, and he looks exactly the same. And his voice is still like that soft, like kind of young, soft like register. I don't know how he does it. What cool. I need to watch The Mentalist. Wait, is he The Mentalist? No, he's not The Mentalist.
No.
He's in the Not Lie to Me or something like that. He's in a show where he's the lead. Anyways.
I thought he was in Fringe.
Was he in Fringe? No.
Yeah, I don't know.
We need to watch. I need to watch Fringe though. Anyways, do we have anything else to add?
No.
Well, didn't you say something where like the different colored rooms were?
Yeah.
Different parts of the digestion.
Yeah, so I was scouring Wikipedia. I'm not Wikipedia, IMDb, in a desperate attempt to find anything insightful to add. But the only insightful thing on IMDb, funnily enough, given the movie is filled with imagery, is that the director described the idea of the camera moving through sets as like food moving through the digestive system.
Well, yeah, because so they leave the restaurant.
Yeah,
go
and stinking rotten food. That's the two trucks parked outside filled with rotten food.
Go to the book depository. What is that?
Well, then it's kind of...
That's sanctuary. That's something somewhere like...
That's the spam.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I think that's something he thought of.
I know. I was like, but where do you want to go with this?
This is the...
So, like, the red room is the stomach where the big...
Or the mouth.
Or their mouth, but that doesn't make the kitchen. Then if it leads to the kitchen, then it doesn't make any sense. So the kitchen prepares food that goes into the stomach.
See?
Well, it's more like the eyes is the kitchen, and then the mouth is where you eat, and then the exit is where everything goes.
Then where is the lavatory? That's all white. The bathroom.
Oh.
There's another own limbo space.
Yeah, but that's like a sex place.
That's a sex place.
That's.
Well, the overwhelming use of red. Let's talk. This is Red, the movie. There's more red here than Moulin Rouge.
There's more red here than the Bruce Willis vehicle Red.
Which also starring Helen Mirren, so very good connection.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you need both of us. How you
Helen
feel
Mirren is gorgeous.
She's so hot.
So bad now.
I wish the movie was spent 50% of the time.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why. But she looks gorgeous here, and she looks gorgeous later in life. That
and she was very good in this as well. She saw a lot of like the story, cause, like she never directly explains why she married him, but there's so much you can infer from just her performance. Like they were younger, like maybe he was making money. She decides like all of that is just done completely through the performance, as opposed to her telling you the audience about it, which is. Yeah, it's like oh, I was hoping she wouldn't do that. I was like, I wish they would just never mention it, and she didn't. She said she talked about how he sexually abuses her, so I don't know. Yeah. All right, should we take a break?
Yes, let's do it.
And we're back. Step right up, everybody. 7 reels. Let's rate them up.
I'm gonna go with 6.
Same, 6.
5.5.
It got a little bit too circular during the middle half for me. Mm. Like, that's when I was like, oh, we're just going to go through days. Because it has a structure, right? Like, it takes place, like, over the course of a week. But then the ending was awesome. It really brought it back. And the music was so great. Beautiful music, I forgot to mention. So what have we watched this week? We watched Oppenheimer again.
We did an entire episode.
Yeah, we did.
I know, but I just want to tell you guys, it's even better the second time around. That's all I'm going to say.
You should talk about the bear. You just
watched talked about the beer. Talk about the beer. That's a show that's far more interested in cooking, the actual cooking part. No man being cooked.
Not yet.
Although with the character's mental path at this stage, season 3, who knows? Honestly, like the show is it's plays so much on like the idea that you're doing something that is you love so much, but at the same time, the probability of failure is just so staggeringly high. And this season seems to be just about that, trying to motivate yourself to like be better, even though everything might go to shit. And it kind of does. You don't know. It leaves off on a very ambiguous note as to what's going to happen next, which is great. I think it's a very good season of television. Much better than the first.
You think it was better?
I thought it was a lot better than the first.
Mm-hmm.
I will check it out.
What have you been watching?
Casino. Martin Scorsese's Casino. And surprisingly, it's better than Goodfellas. And also, I think it's just like, Goodfellas was a hit, so they were like, yeah, he's teaming up again with, you know, let's give him more money.
And Pesci.
Yeah. And so they give him more money and more time, probably, and he made a better movie.
Pesci's arguably even better in this than
Goodfellas.
He's
so evil in this one.
Oh my god, this is pure Satan.
I forgot how evil he was. Yeah, I was like, oh, he sucks in Goodfellas, but this, you just want to see him die so badly. Like,
and the movie gives you that very beautiful moment where he's narrating the movie. Safe, and then and the music stops too.
That's
incredible.
So good.
The best.
They bury him alive. But it just shows you how a good director can really save anything. Like the whole movie, I don't really care. Like, it's just a straightforward biopic, but, you know, it's got like such cool visuals and set pieces. Like,
shifting to like the Los Angeles, like to the Nevada desert, was a great like shift from just the New York of Goodfellas.
But like stuff like, you know, the sunglasses while the car like passes by. There's so many great shots in it. Or like the Vegas, the lights on the windshield, like reflected back as they're driving through. So many good things that just elevate the movie.
So recommended.
Highly recommend it.
All right. Well, I don't think we've seen anything else. So let's move on to
he's the best living director.
I can't wait for Killers of Flower Moon.
Yeah.
What a cool title. This is so sick. So sick. Anyways, what are our recommendations?
Derek Jarman? Jermon. Caravaggio.
Yeah, very similar.
Like, aesthetic. The food everywhere and just gluttony and renaissance.
Tom Hooper's Les Misérables. Isn't it about bread or something?
Oh my god, it is. I can't fucking believe that you will remember this. Negligible, but important detail to the story. It all starts because... and I just only realized that's only because you only know that because that was mentioned in the first number of the song, and I guess that's how far you've gotten to remember the only thing that's...
Yes. Only Mr. Like Robinson is a good comparison.
It's a live play, right?
Yes. That's ridiculous. That's so funny.
Or Joel Schumacher's Batman and Robin.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Wait, did he do two of them? Did he do the one with... Yeah. Oh my god, I can't believe they've gone back to do two of them.
No,
that's insane.
And then he was like, okay, let's remake it. And they brought the same guy.
Hoping for something different. With Val Kilmer? Oh, it's ridiculous. Anyways, what would I recommend? I was bumping through so many recommendations in my head while watching this. I'll recommend In the Mood for Love, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about infidelity, like a fear gone horribly awry. But this one, and it sure is this moment. There's actually one shot that's almost identical and basically boils down to the same moment. I wonder if Wong Kar-wai himself like took in some inspiration. Like, I'm sure like that might be the case. Anyways, that's my recommendation. It's great. And what are we watching next week? Whose turn?
Oh, it's my turn. I believe we are watching The Leopard.
The Leopard?
Yeah, Visconti's The Leopard.
What else has he done?
Nice.
He's done Knocked Up, This Is 40, Pineapple Express. I may be thinking of Judd Apatow.
Actually, Pineapple Express was David Gordon Green.
Oh, but Visconti pretty.
Is it The Mechanic or something like that?
What? The Mechanic? With
some...
Jason Statham?
Well, not the one with
Visconti.
It's something like that.
He also did
Crank.
Crank, yes.
Which is a good movie. Alright, we'll be watching that. The Leopard. Hopefully spot you here next time. Get it?
Good one.
Alright, bye-bye.
Bye.